Look at this. I got headphones on. I got a mic going. Baby.
If only people could see you now.
Hey, no video. We've gone through this before.
All right,
No
all right,
video.
all right. Welcome to This Commerce Life. This is a podcast aimed at small, medium entrepreneurs focused on commerce. I'm Phil, your host, and Kenny, your co-host, will join us as well. And we're going to talk to you about the world of retail and commerce and how things are changing in the world.
I touch my volume thing. Will you go away when I touch my volume
thing? Oh, yeah?
Oh, mother's computer. I swear to God, it drives me crazy.
Let's see if I can get... I'm using a different mic tonight. Do I sound okay?
Yeah, you sound great.
Okay. Yeah, I just... Tomorrow's a PA day. So all the children are having friends over tomorrow, and they're all sleeping over. So all of the spaces got taken over. So I'm at my desk, no studio space because it's a designated sleepover spot tomorrow night. So
that's funny. That's funny. That's all good, right? It's all
good. It's good. You want that, you know? Yeah,
okay. For sure. There you go.
What's going on with you?
Same, just, you know, busy, right? The usual.
Yeah.
Same as everybody.
You look busy.
I am busy. I got so many things to do tonight.
Yeah.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
It's been busy. I got lots of shit on the go as usual.
Yeah.
And, you know, running around like a jackass.
Yeah.
I had it was work all day, and then I had a business dinner tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you know, it's like everything. It's always, you know, 500 things on the go, and do you do anything well? I don't know. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm killing it, man. I'm just killing it.
Yeah. I hear you.
Or it's killing me, one of the two. It's just one of those things. Like, you know, when you, I've told Amelia, I just got home about 20 minutes ago, and she goes, what are you doing? I do the podcast. And then I said, I've got a whole shitload of stuff to do. Tonight before I go to bed. I just want to get some stuff done.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of bury what I can.
Yeah.
And then that's it. You know, whatever.
Yeah. I hear you.
You know what it's like.
Yeah, I do. I do. I totally hear you. Like. I'm there. I'm writing my umpteenth press release.
Yeah.
I literally don't know how many I've written already. I'm kind of determined that, like, there's so many terrible press releases out there that I'm trying to make them not terrible.
She's got Sinead to help you.
Yeah. It's just, you know, like sometimes with that stuff, by the time you're finished transferring the information, it's faster to write it yourself.
Yeah, I guess that's true too.
Like I think the minute I said that, you know, it sounds like advice that we should be, you know,
that was exactly what we talked about people not to do, but that's fine.
Yeah, do what I say and not what I do. But yeah, I think in my case, I'm experienced at writing them, and then I'm experienced at what I want in them, and then I want a certain tone out of it. So sometimes I feel like that's a it's wrong to expect your PR group to be able to write in the tone or the flavor that you want. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I totally get what you mean.
Yeah.
Like, if you read stuff I write, and then if you know me, it sounds like me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And that's a different tone, but you're right. I mean, it needs to be written. Yeah. I know who wrote that.
Yeah.
And I know why it needs to feel that way.
Yeah.
Although Shanae's probably still smarter than you in terms of writing this. You probably
100%. 100%. And then she'll have a better, you know, what she knows better than me is the phrases that you want to leave in there that make writers, you know, that make journalists, you know, want to come to you.
Well, it's right? content. Which, you it's, know, it's the yeah. same thing. Whether it's content Google searching or content that people are searching, content's content.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
That's another reason to tell people that's why it's always king.
Yeah.
Like when they say content's king, even in writing.
Yeah.
Whoever your audience is and whatever they're searching for needs to understand.
Yeah.
What you're writing and what you're looking, you know, they need to know what to look for, right?
Yeah.
That's why it is critical.
Yeah.
But again, I'm sure you're more than capable. It's just another thing, you know, why have it on your desk?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. As I tell you things, then that's what I'm doing after this. Is writing letters for people that I really have limited knowledge on the topic. But
yeah,
but what you're saying is the way I want it written.
So yeah,
I know, but it's not. Well, I'll just write it for me. I said, okay, I'll write you the letter. That's fine.
Oh boy,
that's fine. Just remember, now it's me talking, not you.
Yeah.
Right. So again, yeah. My tone, is different.
It's, you know, okay. So. I'm going to make this distinction because I can hear somebody going, that's what you tell us to do. I think where it's different is, like, Kenny and I have expertise in what we do and we have knowledge in what we do. But when you want things like that, like, so in the case where I'm writing a press release and not Shanane, I wouldn't turn it over to Shanane, because poor Shanane and her group is talented, but they can't write like me. They can't write my tone. If I wanted to sound a certain way, there's a limit to
the scope of
their expertise, right? But I would turn that over to a pro writer, because a pro writer would be able to read, say, kind of three pieces that I wrote, right? Regardless of time frame, they'd be able to, like, see, you know, have three pieces I wrote and be able to knock off my style and make it sound like me.
Right.
And so in those cases, I absolutely would. I would go to a writer and go, you know, we have a blog writer who's really good for NIMI. And so she'll do that. She'll go, do you want this written in your voice? Or is this a regular NIMI voice? Is this a tech expert voice? And actually be able to come back with those tones. Right. Which I think
that's incredibly cool.
Like, that's a skill, right?
Yeah, that's a critical skill set.
Yeah, that's a really good, really, really cool skill set. So so I think those are really cool. I think in your case, it's wrong to ask you to do that. Like, you're not the content expert. They're subbing your expertise for someone who can, you know what I mean? Like, they see you as an expert.
I get it.
And then they go, oh, well, he's an expert. He should be able to write it. No, that's not Kenny's expertise. Like, Kenny never said he was an expert writer.
But like, I'll write it.
Yeah,
I'm going to write it.
But you're more than capable of writing it. But you should.
But you know what's going to happen? And maybe this is easier too. What's going to happen? I'm going to write it.
Yeah.
I'm going to send it to the person.
Yeah.
And then he's going to edit it. You know why? Because he's going to look at, well, I wouldn't say it that way.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, exactly.
Yeah, that's why.
That's the whole point.
Like,
now, if you want me to do it because you just want to have the ideas sort of formulated, and then you're going to go and work on the tone, so that it sounds like you, I have no issue with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a little bit of a waste of my time.
Yeah.
But you know, these are for clients' friends as well. So if you ask me to do something, I say, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Knowing full well that I'm going to send it to you, you're going to read it and think, well, that's not how I would have said it. And thinking, well, no shit, Sherlock. I told you that before I wrote it.
Yeah.
You know, but that's fine. You wanted me to do it. I mean, and sometimes it's a little easier to edit, maybe.
Yeah.
I personally don't think so sometimes. I think editing is honestly that's another skill set unto its own.
It's a whole nother, like, it's
a whole different dynamic.
Yeah, I don't know. Working styles is a funny thing to get through. It took me a long time to get used to, like, like, when you work with different people, you get different things out of it. I think, like, it almost sounds like what your friend needs is like a straw man, right? Like, have you heard that term? It's a straw man. So you kind of sketch something out, but it's not finished, right? And so, like, if you have the right relationship, it'd be the sort of thing that you would go, hey, I'm throwing this out there. It's like 40% done. But like the biggest pieces, like the ideation pieces or the most critical pieces, I've thought through, here they are. If you're good with this, either start filling in the rest, or at least this gives you an indicator of where I'm going.
Right.
Yeah.
That's sort of where this is probably going to end up.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Because to write it the way I want to write it full through and hit send would be wrong.
Because
definitively, it's not going to sound like anybody but me.
But
I think if I write down enough of it and do what you said, like, I mean, I don't have to write it with every and button that. I can do it in point form. Here's the points. Put them in this order. You fill in the ands and thes where you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and the little words that'll make it sound like you and not me.
Yep.
Agreed. Right. Because otherwise it's going to totally come across as that, you know, I've talked to this guy three times.
Yep.
This is definitively not that guy.
Yeah. 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 I didn't want that to pass, right? Because
you shouldn't.
We joke about, you know, do what I say and not what I do. But in this case, there actually was a distinction, right?
Totally.
That, you know, this was not one of those. So.
No, totally. 100%. But after this, man. I'm going to go write the letter anyway.
Yeah, I hear you.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's why I do that with people too. Like I had someone today said, here's all the notes for the meeting. You can manage the meeting. I said, but they're not my notes. Mm. I probably wouldn't have written in this way. And now all you're making me do is I have to go rewrite all this in a way that my brain understands what you think I just said.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't write this, so I didn't say any of this.
Yeah.
And it's good. I appreciate it because that was awesome. But I it's hard for me to use because I don't, and it's not one of those ad lib situations. I'd like to have it more written down in a, you know, so it's a readable way,
almost. Proper format. Yeah.
So that I don't misstep and I don't, you don't miss something. Right.
Yeah.
People forget. Yeah. You can't, it's hard to write for other people, man. That's really what it comes down to. It's difficult. People could do it.
Yep.
I'm not necessarily those people. I can write for me.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can write for you. I can write the ideas, but you have to take control of the writing. It's yours.
I couldn't write for you. Guy. Yeah, I couldn't write for you. Like I think you and I go.
I can write a writer for you, but it's not. You have to rewrite it. Sorry, I don't sound like you.
Yeah.
And you don't sound like me. It's not going to come across.
I think I could ideate for you. You could ideate.
Oh yeah, 100%.
There's no issues there. But I don't think, I mean, like, cause you and I go about taking apart problems differently.
Totally.
We arrive at the same spot, but we almost always take it apart differently.
Totally.
Right. Like, and so I don't, yeah.
It wouldn't work. You would tell, you'd read 100%. That wasn't him.
Yeah. Yeah. From the way we greet people to the way.
Everything.
Like literally that first
how you end sentences a sentence, would how you stop a thing. Sentence.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, how you start the thing. Hey guys. Hi folks.
Yeah.
You know, not, you know, to whom it may concern.
Yeah.
You know, everybody, again, it's not a big deal, but all those things are telltale signs of who wrote what.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why we're spending so much time on this letter. Like what is going on?
I think the underlying was the whole, you know, you're going to write this thing, you know, you know, where you don't have expertise, you should be farming out. That's something that we say a lot, right?
Yeah.
But in this case, you were saying, look, like the client didn't want to do this, farm this out to you. And I just didn't want the audience to kind of go, yeah, this is exactly what those situations where you say farm it out, like, yes, but you have to know who to farm it out to, right? Like it's not you know, just because you've got an expert in your corner doesn't mean you chuck everything out. You could, but it's a waste of your money. Wise. It's a waste of their time. You know, you got to find the right resources for that.
You know what? And I think in the end, and this is maybe why even the way I started with the tone of it, there is a big difference to the way you said it. If you come to me and says, listen, here's the topic. This is what I want to talk. Can you write some ideas on a piece of paper?
Yeah.
Write some ideas and put them in sort of what an order you think would make sense.
Yeah.
That's very different than saying, can you write the letter?
Yeah.
Right? Because ideation is different. I can help you maybe sort of organize. And then you look at it and say, okay, yeah, these are the points I need to talk about. Now I'll write it.
Yeah.
I just help me with the framework or help me with that part. But to physically write it is a problem. And this isn't going to be really a written, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
I will do this, but he's going to have to edit. Because I know when he starts to read it himself, he's going to think, I wouldn't have said it that way. I wouldn't have said that.
Yeah. Or I would have started with this. I would have ended with that. Good. I would, you know,
okay. And maybe if this, all this helps is to get that momentum. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a funny thing. I you're right. Like lots of experience helping people with, you know, people will go, I do need to get something to a writer, but I have no idea how to frame it because every time I send things to the writer, I get the wrong stuff back.
Right.
And those are moments that I'll say, well, why don't you tell me what you want?
Was me or was that you?
Yeah. You know, right? like it might be, it's probably the way you brief them. So
sure.
why don't you tell me what you want? And then I'll frame it and then you can see how I did it. And then that gives you a sense of like how I would go about this. Right. And then, you know, and I think that's a value add, right? Because you're actually teaching them how to brief, right? Like briefing an agency or briefing, you know, a party is a skill. You have to have it, but not everybody has that, right? Everybody, I think all entrepreneurs have an idea brewing in their brain, but translating that in so that other people can help you is a skill, right? So,
which is why a lot of times there's so many failures in entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the idea was brutal. Mm-mm. It's the communication of the idea on the way out. And this is why we always say an idea does not a business make.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work that way. It's an idea.
Yeah.
How you communicate and how you tell the story can make it into something very different.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it's, anyway, it's kind of a big deal. I think being able to, I mean, it is, that's the place where you would pay someone like a Kenny or me. Well, we're kind of idiots too. So if you don't pay us and just ask us, we'd probably help you with it anyway, but it's where we live, right? Is kind of that translation of look what's in your head and what it should look like on paper and how you should translate that to other people. Right. Yeah. So
in certain pockets.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of pockets I won't touch because I have no idea what the hell I would do. So what you would do is you'd hire me to do it and then I'll turn around and hire somebody else to do it.
I have that pocket that I really love now. I realize that Raphael has been doing a ton of shooting for me.
Yeah.
And I realize that like cutting and crafting, you know, not cutting and crafting, telling Raphael what I want in videos has been like pretty cool. I really like it.
It is kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's your idea.
Yeah.
Sort of come to fruition. And knowing that if you had done it yourself, you probably wouldn't have got there. But at least you know that your idea was actually doable if someone knew
what the hell they were. And it was good. My idea was good.
Exactly.
You know, like, yeah.
Not if you had done it.
Nope. Absolutely.
But if someone who knows what the hell they're, or can listen and says, yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I know how to get you there. You have no clue how to get there. I know you got an idea. Again, it's an idea.
Yeah.
You still got to get to the end of the trip.
Yeah. I'm laughing because I think I can see Raphael going, oh God, that guy is so crazy, you know, but nonetheless, right.
But nonetheless, he's delivering sort of what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Or he's really good in saying, okay, I know if I do this, this, and this, he'll think it's his idea, even though quite frankly, it's not really what he wanted, but I'll do it in a way where he's going to think, wow, that is, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And he would think, yeah, sure.
You know,
sure
like, he's like, sure uh-huh.
I'll show you what you're thinking. Here's take one. Here's what you're thinking and me interpreting and then me actually fixing what you're thinking. This is what you're thinking you think. Didn't do this, buddy.
This is the this is those scenes where they show how you think you're dancing, you look like a Motown star, and then they show you really dancing.
You got the swag and the move and then you look at it. Oh my, I look like Elaine from Seinfeld.
That's exactly
it. That's totally it. That's good though. That's all good. So things are coming along. You got all your marketing shits on its way and rolling.
Yeah. We got like four campaigns going now. We're gonna test some stuff now. So so this is where it gets really fun, right? Is I've got these campaigns running, and then we've got stuff on the website that people download. You know, solutions briefs, technical briefs that you can kind of read to see what's happening or how the solution might fit with you. And now we're starting to test how compelling those documents are.
Yeah.
So we've kind of set up ways for people to be able to download them either by landing page or from an email. And then we're going to go and find out, you know, who's actually, is anyone downloading it? Do they care?
Yeah.
You know, which allows us to, you know, start testing those documents to say, maybe nobody cares. Maybe we need to rewrite these a different way. Maybe we need to do something different with them. You know, or maybe they don't want to interact with us like that. So they don't want to download it like that. They want to get it another way. So we're starting to like,
to them. Maybe they feel comfortable for whatever reason. Who knows what people think, right? Maybe they want to write in a different in a different format. What the hell that means, I have no idea, but that's your job to figure it out.
So I think it's like, you know, so there's kind of this neat, you know, A-B test, right? Like you start A-B testing everything, right? So the kind of widespread belief is that like if you're downloading a research paper or something like that, you don't mind filling in a pop-up, right? Because, you know, you kind of like, it's like a commercial preview. So you give them a couple of paragraphs, they read it and they go, oh, that's interesting, I want the rest of it. Click a button, right? The button takes you to a separate page where you would fill in all your details.
Yeah.
And then you hit download and then the download starts. So that's a really common way to do things. So we're testing, does that work in our...
Well, that'll give you an idea of the game, just commitment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to fill out the form and hit download, you had to be, you had to stop as a person to say, okay, you know, it was a cool article a second ago. Like, is it still really cool? Do I really give a shit?
Yeah.
And if someone takes the even that 20 seconds,
that's
a pretty good indicator that
you're
onto something with that person anyway.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you still want to close things, right? You still want to sell stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And you want to put them on lists and you want to be able to email them more stuff. Right. So, and then the other way, we're going to test a different way to sign up so that you get the download still. It's just kind of learning all of those things. Right. Yeah. So, you know, how to best deliver things that work. We're doing some really cool things in LinkedIn as well. So if you're getting my emails in your LinkedIn inbox, well, first, if you're listening to us and you're getting my LinkedIn advertisements in your inbox, I want to hear from you, whether it's good, bad, or ugly.
Yeah.
But it's super cool. Like, we're starting to deliver things, you know, like the LinkedIn stuff is all new to me. I've never done that before. But I'm learning and it's super cool. I like it a lot.
I think it's a good pool to plan.
Like
I said, definitively, they're typically people who are more, you know, if you keep a business, they're totally willing
because
you're obviously targeting. I mean, I'm not getting the emails, right. I think it's a great vehicle.
Yeah.
You know where people work, you know the industry they're in, you know the jobs they're doing.
Yep.
Like, shit, you can really get right down to the right to the person.
Yeah. And then, so I mean, we've gone from like not sending a single email. I think this week we've sent 600, you know, like it's kind of cool. Yeah. So we spooled the whole thing up and, you know, like the B-roll videos from user group meetings. In order to see them now, you've got to sign up with us, right? So now we're going to have a subscriber base. So we're kind of building, you know, the things standing up from scratch, right? Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's been really neat.
You're going to be here pretty soon. Are you going to make it?
Maybe. Starting to think about...
That's almost like long-term, man.
I know. I'm starting to think about the team. I got to figure out what I need. You know, like, you think of all these campaigns, like, they take up a good chunk of time, right?
Absolutely.
So even managing a team takes up a good chunk of time. I got to start thinking about, like, what kind of skills do I need, you know, for the next person to come on the team?
Right.
I haven't really thought about that, like, because I have very generalist skills, right? Like, I can do video editing, I can do copy editing, I write my own copy, I can design, I can, you know, I don't think it's right to expect other people to be able to do all of that.
I don't think it's realistic to expect people to
Yeah,
there are people out there. I mean, we're not the only people that can sort of jack of all trades. But,
well, I'm, you know, so
it is,
I worry about that. Yeah.
It's harder to find.
What's that?
It's harder to find. The generalists are sort of not a dying breed, and it's great. I mean, specialists are awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes it's nice not to have to call 75 people.
It'd be nice
to call three.
Yeah.
They can each do 25 jobs each as opposed to 75 people doing one job each. That's great, but massively inefficient.
I think the worry too, though, is one, you get someone. So let's say I can get a mini me, right? So someone who can do what I do, but much better, or in smaller spurts, or, you know, with some guidance, yeah, whatever. Right. My worry is that, you know, businesses like this, they get more specific, that, you know, like as you start to form the roles, right? Like if you think of what I'm doing, you know, I kind of took this thing, cleaned it up, built it from scratch. I'm starting to build routines and running lanes and all that kind of stuff. The room for a generalist starts to go away, sure, right? Like it actually doesn't get broader because I'm in the broadest sense of the spectrum now, right, but it's going to get more specific. And so it's part of the struggle, right? Cause you hire someone who's very good at a lot of things, and all of a sudden, like in another 6 months, there might not be any room for me even, right? Because I am a generalist. I like to roam.
Specific
like
enough to, on anything.
You know, yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. Like, you know, it just might be a moment where you go, listen, guys, like what you really need now is you need a true CMO. But I'm happy to keep doing all these other things, which now you don't need, right? So I might be working myself right out of a job, which I don't care. But you know what I mean? Like,
I
think, so it becomes a real struggle.
It's a struggle. It's a struggle for the company too, because at the end of the day, you know, typically the generalist is sort of the one who does end up running the show.
Yeah.
Cause you can see little bits of everything.
Yeah.
Right. You know enough to be dangerous.
Yeah.
But you also know enough to put the right people in the right seats. Yeah. As soon as you get too specific, it's to go back to the thing about the missing the opportunity to do the media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that happens because you get people so honed in on one spot, they lose sight of the greater picture because they can't see it.
Yeah,
they're so honed in that they lose sight of the greater good or the other moving parts. Yeah. And the problem is when you're too high up, you don't see all, you got to get into the weeds, but that's why you have people to play in the weeds and people not to. So my worry sometimes is what you're doing is we're training a lot of specialists. There's not that many generalists left. Who's going to run the show? Can't have the propeller head running finance or human resources or marketing.
Nope.
Can you imagine what a train wreck that would be? You have a great tech department, but everything else would be falling apart.
I really can, actually. Yeah, I really can see.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Nor do you also want the guy who can clean the windows and fix the floors doing the propeller head stuff. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. So, you know, you need people that can do things, but shit, you need a...
Yeah.
The visionaries typically are the generalists. They see things.
Yeah.
They see greater things.
I think that's the struggle for me coming up is you know, how do you split these jobs? How do you anticipate where you're going to need it? And then, you know, when do I, it's not if, it's really when do I evolve the job so much that I'm not the right guy for the job? Do you know?
When you just need a generalist to oversee, not do.
Yeah,
you're not one that wants to come in and oversee it. You're the one that wants to come in and build it because you can see where it should go.
Yeah.
And then once it's there, you've probably lost interest. It's not that the business has necessarily lost interest in you.
Yeah.
You've probably lost interest in the business, but you still need another you. Now what you need is a you that doesn't build. You need a you that maintains.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
not everybody can build.
I think candidly, I mean, at some point, the business will need someone who understands security and biometrics, right?
100%.
I'm not that guy, right? Like I love gadgets, I love technology and all that kind of stuff, but I'm not a security guy by heart. I'm not any of those things. So I just think that at some point, the business is going to outgrow me, right? And then I'm going to have to, they're going to have to move on. I'm going to have to move on, right? So,
well, realistically, you'll move on because at that point, as long as the foundation's been built by the other generalist, then that new sort of specialized generalist, which is like an oxymoron, but it's sound like someone at least has a more intimate feel of the industry, but can still see it from a general standpoint, right? Your problem is you can do the general part of what the marketing gig is, but you're never going to be a generalist for the industry.
Nope.
one, you probably don't have a lot of interest in it, really, like deep down passion interest. It's not your thing. I mean, you might like it. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's not.
Yeah. I do like it. I like it a lot, right? But right. Like, passion. That's just thinking. And I don't have the heritage for it, right? Like, you know, I've got to, you know, to do that properly, I have to leave retail fill behind. I have to do some of those things, which I'm not really prepared to do, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, yeah.
And plus, we like squirrel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. Oh, but
gotta check something else.
So I believe in this, right? Like, I am a big believer. I don't know. I actually know if we talked about this, but I think everyone kind of knows that from listening to us. Is I'm actually a big believer that I don't really think that the world should have a ton of full-time jobs out there. Like, I think there's a handful of jobs in every organization where you might hire someone full-time, but I just think, I mean, the number of people that you and I run into, you know, that lose jobs that they probably shouldn't have had for the last 5 years, right? Like, we talked to many, many of those people. Yep. And so I think that planned obsolescence is a good thing, right? Like if I'm looking at the job going, listen, I think in the next 6 months or so, the company's going to need to grow. And I don't know if I'm the guy that should be growing. I'm not the guy that's going to grow with them. And therefore they should go and find someone who will grow with them.
I think that's
a good thing, right? Like, I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah. But you're trying to change the mentality of a huge part of the population whose really main objective is how long can I hang on to this job?
Right.
They may love it. They may be really good at it. They may be passionate, but the security is the biggest part of their worry. The reason most people don't leave the jobs that we've come from is they're scared shitless to leave because they don't know what's on the other side and they're scared. And they like, you know what? Steady paychecks every two weeks. Yeah. There's a lot. That's not an uncommon thing. Maybe with the younger generation coming, they're because it's going to be forced upon them, like forced obsolescence of jobs, never mind product, is going to be forced upon them. Exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
You will work yourself out of a job.
Yeah.
But I think your psyche is already going to be built for that. Our age group is not built for that. Some of us, maybe.
Yeah.
Not most of us, definitively. I don't care what you say in this one. There's no way most people think the way we do.
No. So I'm not disputing that. I think that 100% you are right. In fact, the one guy I'm thinking of, he works for a package goods company. He's been there 20 years. And the last time I saw him, he said to me, no, two times ago, which is, you know, I only see him every half year or so, right? So a year ago, he said to me, whew, you know, I survived that last round. I'm pretty sure I'm going to go. And I said to him, okay, so what are you going to do about it? And he was like, I don't know. I guess I'm going to have to figure out how to like shrink my footprint. So that, you know, I can kind of like slink in the shadows until
all he wants to do is how to hang on.
Right. And I said,
what's your inclination?
But no, I said to him, but you have all these skills. Like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Like, so in my mind,
I want to be employed until I retire.
Yeah. But in my mind, I said to him, here's what I see. You've been there 20 years. You're going to get a nice package out of this. It's an inevitability, right? Like it is not that you are going to escape. It's just it's a matter of time before it's your turn. So what you should be doing is figuring out, you know, like you've been here 20 years, right? Like I can help you do some skill mapping. I can translate what you do at this company into what translates into real life. Right. But you have to figure out what you want to be when you grow up, right? Like that's actually a thing, right? Like, or at least what you want to be the next iteration through. Because
they're not thinking of that. But they want to be when they grow up as employed.
But I think my point is that if you're listening to this show and you are, if you're my age, so if you're actually no, if you're Kenny's age, if you're my age, or you're coming up to our age, if you're in the grouping of I've got to figure out how to shrink my footprint, or I've got to figure out a way to stay out of the spotlight so I can not get fired. I think you need to, I think the challenge is you've got to change your mindset and get into that place where you're thinking about what's next. Because it's not a matter of, OK, can I escape? It's really a matter of time.
It's not a matter of when. It's not if, it's when.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. You know, if you're already thinking that way, don't kid yourself. Everybody above is as well.
Yeah, you're going to go. Yeah, they figured it out. You know, so you gotta get on this, right?
Like, it's just a matter of time. Yeah. So I'm with you. To me, wouldn't you want to drive that bus?
Yeah,
and not 100%. Be the passenger.
100%.
Like, why would you? Again, though, it's unfair in some ways in that.
Yeah,
everybody's different. Probably for our audience, because they're, I'm assuming they're mostly entrepreneurial. It's not, you know, it's not comfortable, but it's not uncomfortable. Mm-hmm, it's kind of shit happens.
Yeah,
but you've got a whole bunch of people that know. I the whole point of this was to get to 65. That or 60 or whatever the number is, but that was the point.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I'm going to reduce my footprint. I'm not liking this anyway, but I'm going to reduce it just to stay out of trouble, just to hang on. And I'd be thinking, let go. But that's me. That's not, I can't tell you how to think, right?
That's you and me.
And but it's a comfort thing too. And maybe, you know, but I took a long time to let go and maybe, you know, now that I have, I can definitely tell you. Yeah. You know what, guys, it's scary.
Yeah,
it does. And trust me, you know what? The paychecks don't come flying in.
Nope.
But you know what? If you put your head down and leverage your contacts and do some work, good shit happens. Mm-hmm. It really does.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
But you got to work at it. It's not free.
I just think I hear some of them going, really? You're going to change again? Like, it looks like you got a nice steady job. And like, you know,
what does that mean?
I don't know what it means. Like, I think like, you know, in my mind, it's Nimmy hired me to do a job. So I'm doing the job. Yeah. But part of the job is to be responsible adult and say, okay, I've done the job. Like if I'm a contractor, right? Like we're contractors, you do say to people, my job here is done, right? Like you hired me to do this.
Like we talked about this last week, and there's a few people we're just not going to let go of, and they're not allowed to let go of us. That's different. So let's qualify that, Phil, in case we have some listeners
who don't
understand what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a few people that is not how it works. We're talking generally again.
No specifics. Don't do what we say.
Exactly, because there's a few people I want to stay with.
Yeah. Yeah,
job is never done.
but there are, I mean.
Yeah, you're 100% anyway, right. Yeah. Except for a few of them. I'm still not letting go of a few of them.
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I get it, man. I get it.
I think I like getting on this with you too, because I know, you know, we've got some friends over this weekend and we're going to have that conversation. They're going to ask me how it's going. And I'm not. You know, I don't really hide that stuff. So I'll say, like, I think my time's coming to a close. I've got a little bit longer to go here. You know, unless there's some really new wrinkles.
And then
people would go, oh my God. Yeah, I know,
And then they look at the white, Kathy, do you let him do this? Like, what the hell's going on?
Kathy's like, are you crazy? Like, if you stayed in the same place, he'd make my life unhappy.
He'd make everybody miserable.
Unhappy, like, you know.
But that's what I say with most people.
Find what's right. So.
So when you look at most of those people, like seriously, if you have to make yourself hidden to hang on, are you really that happy with what you're doing?
Nope. So you're not fooling anybody, right? No. Like you are not.
The people who are doing the things, you're just maybe not as bad as somebody else.
Yeah.
That's all that's saving you.
Yeah.
It's not your brilliance of hiding.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. I mean, again, it's easy to say you need, this is a Lori one.
Yeah.
This is where, you know what, when you're in those positions, and it doesn't have to be just a Lori. I mean, because we like Lori, but every town, every city has a couple really good business type coaches, like a Lori who would listen and are very compassionate and very sincere and authentic. Yep. And they can't tell you what to do. You got to do whatever you want to do, but they can help you see things in a manner that maybe makes it just a little less scary.
Yeah.
And puts it back into your place. Like we talked about, well, we have no choice to go to work tomorrow. Remember what she said? Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, well, no, I don't. I got to go to work. Yeah. No, you don't.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, sort of. No. And they're thinking, well, no, not really sort of at all. Yeah. You don't really have to go to work ever again if you don't want to.
Yeah, yeah, you don't. You know, there are consequences to it.
Okay. Exactly. 100%. Now you got to work on the other side.
Yeah.
You know, if I didn't go to work tomorrow and I was happier, that's not a bad outcome.
Yeah.
Now, I still need some money, but maybe you look to yourself and say, well, I'd really like to do that other job because that would make me, I think, happier.
Yeah.
But then you start.
Yeah.
But I think you do have to recognize that all of this is choice.
Yeah.
These people are choosing to hide.
I think
to stay miserable for 4 or 5 more years. That's a choice.
Yeah.
And that's if that's their choice.
Yeah.
And they're good with their choice, then I'm happy for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? I don't get it, but that's not for me to get.
I think if you're in our audience and you're there and you either want to break out or you want to talk to us about it, or if you think we're wrong, we'd love to hear from you.
I would love to hear that.
We'd love to, you know, we can, I don't know how to do it yet, but transparently I'll figure it out. We could mask your voice. We could hide your industry, you know, whatever we need to do to kind of get you on the show, but we'd absolutely do it so we can talk to you about it. But
I totally
scary
as it is, right? I think it's scarier to me. It would be scarier to 10 years later, 15 years later, look at it and say, the fuck did I do? Why did I do that? That was
all that time
I just wasted all those years. Why? To me, that's scary.
I agree
Right? That would freak me out. Like that's horrifying. Right? But again, that's my fear.
Yeah.
But it took me a long time to get there too. I mean, I was scared to leave.
Yeah.
Why would I want to give up security? Got paid well, good company, nice people. It wasn't a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
But you get that inkling where, you know, if I don't do it, I'll never do it. See, that's funny. And there's other people that I don't want to do it, so I'm going to hide so I don't have to do this.
Yeah.
But, you know, neither's right, neither's wrong. It's wrong for me. And this one was right for me. But that's not a fair thing to place on other people. I don't know what makes you tick. Well, I know you. Like, that's why I'm laughing at you. You got 12 months.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You're pretty much finished. You got ants in your pants, so. I'll get in the hood,
buddy. That's a whole nother episode.
Yeah, that's a whole nother talk.
It is. All right, young man.
Hey, listen, how did our friend from J&J do? Did she ever find
I don't know, actually. I Carrie Doyle, if you're listening to this, we'd like to have you back on.
Sorry for the mind fart there. I just could not remember her name.
No, that's okay. I actually was looking for her, but I haven't been able to find her lately, so... Carrie Doyle, if you're listening to us, this is an open call for you to come back on the show. We'd love to talk to you again and see how your adventure is going.
Yeah.
And then you and I will talk to Lori this week about getting our What Would Lori Do session. Yeah.
And I think this one, a good follow-up is this one.
Yeah.
Because this is typically the one that scares the shit out of most people.
Yeah.
And if we do assume a lot of the people who are listening are our age, they probably were, I'm going to assume, more similar to me, where they didn't have a multitude of job experiences, even though you had more.
Yeah.
You're not like a millennial who's had already that many in 6 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, help you kind of get through the process or think it through. So,
yeah.
Okay. I got to go write a letter.
Go write a letter. You just got a letter.
I got a letter. Something, or please, Mr. Postman, or whatever.
I wonder who it's from. Anyway.
You're a cheat. Okay, buddy.
All right, young man. I'll talk to you soon.
I'll talk to you next week.
Yep.
Have a nice weekend.
All right, happy you Thanksgiving. Too. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, man.
All right, we'll ciao.
Ciao.
All right, that's the end of this Commerce Life. We'll be back soon with the next episode. Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed it. Give us feedback. Tell us what you think. Subscribe, like us, join us, share us, tell your friends about us. And we hope to see you next time with more commerce news.